I mean, it's a case that really can be investigated for causing financial loss to the state.
Michael Donyina Mensah is the executive director for the Center of Public Opinion and Awareness, or SEMPOA. He spoke with me from the Ghanaian capital, Accra. In Nigeria, the defection announced of Nasser El-Rufai, founding member of the ruling All Progressive Congress, or APC, to the lesser-known Opposition Social Democratic Party, or SDP, is generating debate. Last week, El-Rufai expressed concern about internal and leadership issues of the APC. He also hinted in an interview that he could leave the ruling party. This after citing what he says is a misalignment between his personal values and the current direction of the APC as the core reason for his decision. Analysts say El-Rufai's decision is yet another demonstration of a politician who is crossing to the opposition for not getting what he wants. For the latest political development, I reach attorney Leonard Anyongo. He is a political analyst based in the Nigerian capital, Abuja.
Nigerians received his defection with mixed feeling is not totally strange, because in 2015, they formed the APC. He was one of the founding members of APC that eventually ousted the then President Goodluck Jonathan's administration and ushered in Buhari's administration. In all this, Nigerians have seen this like it's another political gimmicks, so to say, because right now, he's been having this up and down tussle with Tinubu's administration, because at a point he was supposed to be a member of his cabinet, and then either Senate didn't confirm it or something went wrong. So he has now defected to the Social Democratic Party, another party that is for now is relatively unknown. So it's towards the 2027 general election, we are going to see most of these kind of defections and realignment.
Recently, he had an interview with a local news channel where he said the president, Bola Tinubu, met him and said, we need to find a way to work together. He said he didn't have any problem with the president, just that the president changed his mind about his position and that he did not have any security problem as locally reported in news outlets in Nigeria. What are your thoughts?
When he was actually nominated as a cabinet member, he was supposed to be one of the ministers. But the Senate of the Federal Republic of Nigeria has their discretion to either confirm or reject a nominee, which they did. But beyond that, I think that there was a lot of political undertone to it. El-Rufai is, since the advent of Nigerian democracy for 1999, he's been Obasanjo's administration, he's been good, even Goodluck administration. So people will say that he's self-seeking for his own personal interests and the interests of some of his friends that are now coming together to eventually challenge the Tinubu's administration. So whether it was actually rightly rejected by the Senate of the Federal Republic or not, it is more on politics. But I can say that he was one of the key factors that led to the emergence of Tinubu's administration. Because that very day, I remember I was at the Eagle Square in Abuja, where the fight for the APC ticket was being contested. And he stood for Tinubu because the northern sector of the Nigerian state wanted the presidency. But to his credit, to the credit of El-Rufai, he stood for the fact that Tinubu from the south should be the term. You know, did Nigeria do this north and south dichotomy in terms of presidency? So you can say he's a good person. If you understand him, sometimes you can say it's controversial. It depends on the angle you are looking at.
He also expressed concern about things that are happening in the party. He believed the party is not being run well. Recently, there was a national executive meeting chaired by the president and the chairman of the party. And he came out during the news interview saying that the party is not being run well. Has things degenerated so bad that his decision to abandon it, some people are saying, could draw a little bit support away from the ruling APC party?
With the greatest respect to that position, I make bold to say that there is no clear-cut ideological difference between the Nigerian parties. I've said this several in different fora. One morning you are in PDP, the next morning you are in APC, you are in Labour Party. It's just the recycle of the politician, depending on the interest. You know, so he has been in PDP, he's been in APC, now in SDP. So even if you see the Nigerian major political stakeholders. They have been in all these different parties. So you cannot say this is a clear ideological difference. It's just an interest. But he said people that are now in APC were people that they late joiners, like people that came from other parties to join. You know, he was a founding member, so he felt that the principle of how that party was founded has been eroded. So, but if you look at that, you now know that it's just interest. At the point I had granted an interview, I said APC was actually wanted power, but at the point they were not even prepared for power. But now things are changing. A lot of persons, Nigerians even be fear that it's going to be a one-party state because the main opposition party is crumbling. The People's Democratic Party, they have their own factions and all that. So you see a lot of these defections, a lot of people looking for interests where their interests can be actualized. So to us, is the same system, the same set of persons moving from one party to the other.
Attorney Leonard Anyongo is a political analyst. He spoke with me from the Nigerian capital, Abuja. In Zambia, the opposition Tonse Alliance has announced a nationwide protest for next week. This, the party says, aims to kick against President Hakainde Hichilema's recent call for a constitutional amendment before the 2026 general election. It comes after the president called on stakeholders, such as civil society and the church, to support a measure to increase women's participation in elective positions. But the opposition coalition says the move is a pretext to extend the president's term from 5 to 7 years and to remove the 50% plus one provision to elect presidents. The government denies the allegation. Sean Tembo is the spokesperson for the Tonse Alliance. He tells me that the group is determined to fight any attempt to amend the constitution.
We have always made it very clear that we are going to oppose any and all forms of manipulation of the Republican constitution prior to the 2026 general elections. And the government, through President Hakainde Hichilema, they were denying that they are not planning to amend the constitution. They denied on a number of occasions. But recently, on Saturday, during the commemoration of Women's Day in Kasama of Northern Province of Zambia, President Hakainde Hichilema admitted his words were that he had already agreed with the Zambian people. So that just tells you that he intends to amend the constitution, and we as the Zambian people cannot allow that. And it is on that basis that we decided to conduct a series of countrywide protests. The ones we are holding on the 19th of this month, which is Wednesday of next week, is just the first of a series of protests that we are going to undertake all the way until the 2026 general election.
But Clayson Amasaka, the chief media advisor to the president, said categorically that there is no truth that the president seeks to amend the constitution to scrap the 50% plus one clause in the constitution or extend his term from 5 to 7 years so he stays in power, and that this is a figment of your imagination, a plan to make the government unpopular.
Peter, these are people who have been denying that they don't have any intentions to amend the constitution for the past 1 year until a few days ago when the president admitted it publicly. They want to blindside the Zambian people. They want to take us by surprise. But we're not going to allow that. We're going to challenge them. We are going to oppose them. And we're going to face them head on. Zambia is our country in as much as it is their country. And they can't relegate us as opposition leaders to the back seat in terms of the welfare and affairs of this country. And that is the reason why we are going to proceed with our protests. And I can assure you, Peter, there is a very high appetite among the people to participate in those protests.
But some people are suggesting that what you are doing now is a political gimmick to make the Tonse Alliance feel relevant, because the president simply agreed with calls by the NGOCC that there should be more women appointed to top government positions in cabinet and in other decision-making places across the country. And if the president agrees to that, why should that be a problem for anybody, since your party itself wants to promote women?
Peter, I can assure you that if the government wanted to have women-centered programs or to elevate women into decision-making positions, they do not need an amendment to the constitution. They just need to change their policies, which has the overall effect of sidelining women and youth. You don't need the constitution amendment for that. As to the allegations that we are playing tricks to make the Tonse Alliance popular, I can assure you, Peter, that the Tonse Alliance is already very popular, and that is why we won the recent parliamentary by-election in Petauke, and we beat the government in that parliamentary by-election. So we do not need any tricks to be popular. We are already popular. The Zambian people love us, and the Zambian people will usher us into office come next year.
Some people are suggesting that the police perhaps might not give you the permit you need to embark on this demonstration next Wednesday. If that happens, what's next for you?
Well, that's a misunderstanding of the law, Peter. We do not need a permit to undertake our demonstration. If you read the Public Order Act together with the Republican Constitution, it is very clear. All we need to do is notify the police. Whether the police respond to our notification or they don't, provided we tick that box, then we proceed with our planned protest. So it is a very wrong misconception for you or anybody else to believe that we need the police permit for us to undertake our protest. That is not what Section 5 of the Public Order Act says. It says give notification, which we have given. And therefore, we are proceeding with our protest. Come 19th of March, which is Wednesday next week, come rain, come sunshine, we are proceeding with our countrywide protest.
Sean Tembo is the spokesperson for Zambia's opposition Tonse Alliance. He spoke with me from the capital, Lusaka. Also in Zambia, the Director General of the National Media Committee of the ruling United Party for National Development, or UPND, has dismissed as a political gimmick plans by the opposition Tonse Alliance to embark on a protest beginning next week. Frank Bwalya says President Hakainde Hichilema is committed to promoting women irrespective of opposition criticisms. His remarks come after the Tonse Alliance announced plans for a protest against calls for a constitutional amendment to have fair women's representation in government before the next general election. Critics say the move would enable the government to remove the 50-plus-1 clause and to allow for the term of the president from 5 to 7 years. But Frank Bwalya tells me that Zambians will not be deceived into believing opposition propaganda.
The president has agreed. The president has accepted, nodded the calls for changing the constitution so that two things can be achieved. Two specific things. Number one, to ensure that more women are represented 50-50 in elective positions, in government positions, of course, cabinet, because somebody has to be first elected as a member of parliament, then they can be nominated as a cabinet minister. And on the day that the president recently pronounced himself on this matter, it was shortly after the leader of the non-governmental organization, that is our NGOCC Coordinating Committee, an organization that champions the cause of women in Zambia, had spoken at International Women's Day in Kasama. Shortly after she had spoken, that was Miss Beauty Katebe, then the president, as guest of honor, came in to deliver his speech. And he responded to the cause to have more women in public office, more women running for office. And she herself and all women organizations have been insisting that you need a constitutional amendment in order to make this a reality.
Zambia on numerous occasions have signed into international agreements, ratified agreements about promoting women. And people are saying the constitution gives the president power to appoint women into decision-making places. And that when you even look at his cabinet and subsequently across state-owned enterprises, he has failed to do the very thing that he's saying he agrees to.
No, the president has not failed. As a matter of fact, this president has performed very well. And even on that same occasion on Saturday at the International Women's Day celebration in Kasama, he reminded the Zambian public that at the last swearing-in ceremony, I think it was a day before that or 2 days before that. All those who were sworn in were women, including the executive director of the Anti-Corruption Commission. They were all women. So he has done very well. However, in terms of nominating members of parliament who he can make appoint as cabinet ministers, the president there is limited. He has only 8 that he can nominate. So what the president has agreed to in terms of the demands from the people is that you need to amend the constitution to have proportional representation, so that there is a legal framework that deliberately encourages women to participate in elections, to occupy elective positions, and eventually be considered for ministerial positions. And of course, the president is doing very well to appoint women in various positions, that is, away from elective positions.
The Tonse Alliance plans to embark on a protest on March 19th because they believe that they, under the guise of trying to engage or have more women, the plan is for the UPND to remove the 50+1 clause and extend the presidential term from 5 to 7 years. And that is why they are against any attempt to amend the constitution before the elections. What's your response to that?
It's a political gimmick on the part of Tonse Alliance, because if they were allowed, I know they will not be allowed, and those demonstrations will not succeed, because no Zambian is going to join such demonstrations. No Zambian will join that. Zambians want the current government to address the challenges that we face on the economic front. Issues of cost of living, issues of increasing power generation from alternative sources, and not the over-dependence that we have on hydropower and so on. So that thing is a flop. Zambians can never join such a crusade. Now, I want to say something, that this is a gimmick for the opposition to try to create some political relevance. If they went ahead with the demonstrations, at the end of the day, the government does not remove 50+1 from the constitution, because in the first place, there are no intentions to do such a thing. These opposition leaders, the Tonse people and whatever, they will claim that if it had not been for their intervention, the government would have gone ahead. That is the gimmick they are using. It's a very cheap political gimmick, and it will not work.
Frank Bwalya is the Director General of the National Media Committee of the UPND. He spoke with me from the Zambian capital, Lusaka. You are listening to Nightline Africa on the English to Africa service of The Voice of America. I'm your host, Peter Clotte, in Washington, D.C. And coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, the Saturday music spot from our collection of music from the continent. But first, 40 prominent Tunisian opposition figures remain in detention after a judge postponed their court proceedings until next month. Tunisia's political opposition says the charges of plotting against national security are fabricated. VOA's Carol Van Dam has this report, prepared by journalist Noura Hafayed.
The trial of 40 people accused of conspiring against the internal and external security of the state and belonging to a terrorist group will resume on April 11th. Earlier this month, the court postponed their trial but left them in detention. Some of the accused have been jailed since 2023. According to the public prosecutor, the suspects, all members of the opposition, sought to overthrow the Tunisian state and the administration of President Kais Saied by force with the help of foreign countries. Several defendants are also accused of helping suspicious contacts with foreign diplomats. Half of them face the death penalty for inciting people to arm themselves against each other. Several human rights organizations have described the case as political, aimed at suppressing dissent. Ahmed Galoul is a former minister and former leader of the Ennahda Islamist Party.
The execution of Kais Saied's plan. Such a plan was declared in his inauguration statement in front of his parliament after his fraudulent elections. In those statements, Kais Saied declared and announced his enemies and he said that he will have to deal with them ASAP. These executions, or so-called court judgments, are a concrete imitation of the same atrocities and barbarian behavior that was happening in Syria.
Saeed was elected president in 2019, but in July of 2021, he froze parliament and started dismantling the democratic advances that were made after the 2011 revolution, which launched the Arab Spring throughout the region. Opposition leaders accused Saeed of orchestrating a coup in 2021. Rights defenders and his political opponents say since then, freedoms in the country have deteriorated. Saeed said in 2023 that the arrested politicians were traitors and terrorists, and that judges who acquitted them would be considered their accomplices. Khamid Khamir is an opposition leader in Tunisia's parliament. He says the trial of the opposition activists is political because the authorities took the initiative from the beginning, the moment the leaders of the political opposition gathered to unify their efforts and actions in confronting the system. Khamir also notes the government's use of secret trials. He says instead of addressing public opinion and the media calls for a public trial, as the accused have asked, the authorities are going to a closed secret trial to avoid all the shortcomings in this case. Human Rights Watch urged the Tunisian authorities to immediately release all those arbitrarily detained in this case and end the court proceedings. Last month, the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights also denounced the persecution of opponents in Tunisia, saying that many of them were, quote, subject to vague accusations, end quote. Tunisia's Ministry of Foreign Affairs has said that it read the UN statement with astonishment and criticized what it said were inaccuracies. The ministry added that Tunisia can give lessons in those who think they are in a position to make statements on human rights. For VOA journalist Nora Hafeida in Tunisia, I'm Carol Van Damme.
Right now it's time for music from our African collection.
Je suis touché, mais je te pardonne, Fatima Tae. Oh ma belle, oh ma belle. Rumba music. Ta façon d'aimer, c'est pas joli, c'est pas gentil, façon comme ça. Ta façon d'aimer, doudou, c'est pas joli, c'est pas gentil, vraiment pas dit. Ta façon d'aimer, chérie, jaloux, 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 t'es trop jalouse. Tu vois même devant les gens, tu perds. Tu perds la tête, c'est pas gentil. Amour à moi. bourbon. Elle travaille au plateau. Elle ne roule qu'en taximètre. Elle m'a fait tourner la tête à cause de sa beauté. Elle a un corps pété pété. Elle a un corps sembé sembé. Je suis tombé malade. Voilà moi traumatisé. Non, 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 Fatimata.
Fatimata, ma chère. Ton affaire là, c'est dur, hein. Abidjan là. Tu n'as pas dit que tu mourrais.
Music from the continent, and we hope you enjoyed it. Nylon Africa comes to you on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC from the English to Africa service of The Voice of America. From the rest of the Nightline team, including producer Mogbil Yabaru, we say a big thank you for joining us tonight. And remember, as the elders say, if a fool keeps his mouth shut in public, he will be counted as a wise man. I'm your host, Peter Clotin, Washington, D.C. Good evening, Africa.